long way in sort of re-educating them about their eating habits.
It's a start. It's a very, very good start. For too many years, schools have been contributing to the problem. Schools haven't caused the obesity problem, but they can play a role in getting it under control, and this is an important first step.
All right, I'll just start with the interview with giving your name and your title just as a marker for us, and then, you know, when we air it, it'll be done live. Dr. Howell Wexler, director of the CDC's Division of Adolescent and School Health, joins us this morning to talk about schools making a decision to stop selling salty snacks and some candy and also sugary drinks in their cafeterias. This is actually good news for you at the CDC. Dr. Wexler, tell us how you've been working on this issue.
Well, we have been providing guidance to states and cities and schools for many numbers of years now, and we're delighted with the latest progress that we're seeing. There's been a sharp increase pretty much in every state in the percentage of schools that are no longer selling those low-nutritive, high-energy snack foods and beverages. We supported, at the direction of Congress a couple of years ago, the Institute of Medicine to come out with the most authoritative, rigorous scientific set of guidance for what foods and beverages should be allowed on school campuses. And that's really been a model for many of the policies that have been developed across the country. Now, we have about half the states now that have strong nutrition policies. There is currently only a very weak set of federal guidance as to what standards should be set for foods and beverages that are not part of the school breakfast or school lunch program. So states have stepped into the breach, but only half of them so far.
I think a lot of this got started when the schools began to take money from vending machines and the growth of vending machines in school, which was when we were all in school, there was no such thing as a vending machine, but now they have banks of them dispensing this kind of stuff for the financial gain to the school districts. Do you think that's been part of the problem?
Absolutely. We've lost sight of part of what the mission of school is to prepare young people to lead healthy, productive lives. And in the short-term pursuit of filling in some gaps in school budgets, we've been contributing to having harmful effects on the health of our young people. So we're straightening that out. And in fact, some of the encouraging news, part of the reason that we're making so much progress in getting junk food and sugary beverages out of school is because most schools find that when they make a switch and they start replacing those items with more nutritious snack foods and beverages, there's usually a little bit of dip in the revenue that they get in the first couple of months, but gradually kids start buying those things, and the revenue actually creeps back to pretty much where it was before. So this does not have to be a big revenue loser for schools, and it can be a major nutritional improvement for our kids.
Does it come along with more nutritional education for students to tell them, you know, what really does raise your energy level and what really does sap your energy level?
Well, we could probably make even stronger progress if that were the case. We have no evidence that there's been any kind of increase in the percentage of schools that are delivering high-quality nutrition education to our kids. But the very first thing you got to do is have strong policies in place. That's the most efficient and effective way to make changes in across a wide number of schools. So that's really been what's been driving the changes.
And do we know really what exactly is causing an apparent increase in obesity among young people? Are there studies that show that the snack foods and so forth are a contributor to that?
Yeah, we actually have a number of studies now that show there's an association between the extent to which kids have access to these high-calorie, low-nutrient foods in schools and their dietary intake. So kids that are in schools where they have easy access to junk foods are more likely to have higher caloric intake, to have higher fat intake, saturated fat intake, less likely to be consuming enough fruits and vegetables. And there's even two studies out so far that have actually linked it to higher weight levels. So there is increasing evidence on that, but it's only one part of the problem. Getting the junk food and sugary beverages out of school isn't going to solve the obesity epidemic on its own. We're going to need to do a bunch of things to really have a strong impact on that. But just about any public health expert you talk to, they have getting the junk food and sugary beverage out of school on that list of the important things that need to be done.
And is CDC working in that capacity? Is there anything more you can do to set guidelines or, you know, work with schools to try to educate them about the value of good nutrition?
Absolutely. At CDC, we fund state departments of health and state departments of education as well, and we're constantly educating them and giving them models. One of the things we do is we highlight the states that have had great success, and one of the exciting things that came out of the report is the tremendous progress in this area that we're seeing in some of the southeastern states that are always at the top of the list when it comes to the highest percentage of their population who are obese, but states like Mississippi and Tennessee and Kentucky and Alabama are really stepping to the plate, and they're realizing that something needs to be done about it. So they have all introduced strong policies in recent years that set nutrition standards for what foods and beverages can be made available to students through vending machines and similar settings. And as a result, they have gone from being near the bottom of the list, being pretty much junk food heaven for school children, to pretty much near the top of the list, among the highest percentage of schools in those states are not allowing students to buy soft drinks and junk food.
You know, the interesting part about it is, for me, you can educate students, and, you know, whether or not that translates into an education for the family or a long-term education for the person who is now not consuming salty snacks and sugary sodas and things like that. Sometimes that light bulb doesn't click on for a really long time.
Absolutely. But what we found is one of the greatest tools for educating the family at home is the student. Students can be very powerful educators of their families. Once they get on a course, you see it with recycling, for example. How many kids have gotten so excited about recycling, go home and get the family involved in the process? And we also do see it on nutrition. We think a lot of the change that we've seen, which has resulted from states and cities and individual schools adopting policies, a lot of that is coming from parents and parent activists who care very much. You know, if you're working real hard to get your kids to eat the right thing, and it's not easy. There's so many tempting choices. But if you're a parent who is very conscientious about this, works hard to get their kids to make the healthy choices for foods and beverages, and then they go to school and it's open season on junk food and the kids can get whatever they want, that totally sabotages all your hard work. So a lot of parents have played a major role in advocating for these strong nutrition policies.
Well, from one who has tried to battle the weight gain process for most of my life, I salute you. Starting early is always good, and it's good to see that schools are backing up the parents who are concerned about this and taking some action on these unhealthy snacks.
Yeah, now we still have a long way to go. We've made tremendous progress, but there's still far, far too many schools. And as I said, about half the states do not have these strong nutrition policies. So we've got our work cut out for us, but it's nice to be going in the right direction.